Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Jennifer was taking an afternoon nap, so she would be able to stay awake to see the new year. How many of you are at that age that if you're going to stay up till midnight on Tuesday, you got to take a nap on Tuesday? Anybody there yet? A few? So she was getting ready to take a nap so she could stay awake to see the new year in later that night at the big party that she had planned. After she woke up, she confided to Clayton, her husband, "I just dreamed that you gave me a diamond ring for a New Year's present." All the women said, "Yes." "What do you think it all means?" Clayton said, "Wow, let me just say, you'll know tonight exactly what that means," and added a big smile. At midnight, as the New Year was chiming in and people left and right were kissing their sweethearts, Clayton approached Jennifer, kissed her while holding her a long time, and then handed her a small package. Ecstatic and delighted, Jennifer opened it quickly. And then her hand rested a book entitled, "The Meaning of Your Dreams." Those are pity laughs. I know a pity laugh and a hearty laugh when I hear it. Those are pity laughs. Joshua chapter 1. "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Verses 10 and 11. Amen. Thank you for that. Amen. Verses 10 and 11. "Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals." Somebody say, get yourself ready. "For within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it." I want to just declare for somebody today, you've got 3 days to get yourself ready for the greatest year of your life. That's a good patty cake from about 8 people, but I need somebody that really believes that. That 2020 is my year of restoration. 2020 is my year of prodigals coming home. 2020 is my year where everything flips to my favor. 2020 is the year I get out of debt. 2020 is the year I get married. Come on, somebody. 2020 is the year I have my baby. 2020 is the year I start my business. 2020. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, you got 3 days, 72 hours to get yourself together. You may be seated. I can't believe that I'm 38 years of age. It's tough. In my mind, I'm like, the last 20 years went by like that. And I leaned over while Jaden was helping lead worship, and I said, "Man, it's hard to believe that Jade is just 4 years younger than you were when we got married. That's crazy." I said, "I would never let her do that." But time's flying by, and I say all that to say this because I'll probably be surprised about how many of you know this. How many of you are gamers? You like to play video games? A lot of little hands going up, all right? There's some of the Generation Xers putting their hands up. How many of you guys remember a game called Street Fighter? How many of you remember there was a place on Walsham called Diversions Game Room? Y'all remember Diversions? And you'd walk in with a roll of quarters, and you'd put your quarter up there. That meant you got next, right? So we love Street Fighter, Ryu, Ken, all those guys. But then a game followed Street Fighter that took it to a whole new level called Mortal Kombat. Man, that's the biggest amen some of y'all giving all year. Mortal Kombat took Street Fighter to a whole new level and was very graphic in the fighting. But at the end of a round, after you've hit, punched, kicked, done special moves, thrown ice, thrown fire, whatever it was, at the end, your opponent would be dazed and confused, and there would be a voice come on, and it would say, "Finish him." And when you would, yeah, some of y'all went back now. You went back 20 years, just finish him. And so at the finish him declaration, you would do something you hadn't done the whole match. Come on now. You didn't know I could preach about Mortal Kombat. You give me some time, I can preach about anything. You would do moves you'd never done previously in the match. And you would have results that you had never had previously in the match. But you had to have the declaration of finish him. Well, I don't want you to finish him. I've come to declare to you to finish it. Before you move into 2020, there's some things that need to stop before you can start the new year. There's some things that you need to complete. There's some finality that needs to happen in the next 60 hours before we cross over into a new year. And I'm here to tell you that God is getting ready to fire you up. God is getting ready to inspire, to provoke, to encourage you to step out in faith and to do some house cleaning, some spirit cleaning, some soul cleaning, some heart cleaning over the next 60 hours. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, finish it. Isn't it amazing that before they cross over, they've been wondering now for 40 years, and God says, you've got 72 hours to get yourself together. Everybody, listen to what I'm going to say, because nobody preaches this. Everybody who crossed the Jordan was not ready to cross the Jordan. So they crossed the Jordan into a new land, and they're still the old man. The problem with moving to new places and still being the same person is you will pollute the new place and make it what you just left, because little do we know that a lot of our problems are self-inflicted, not devil-inflicted. Remember, it was not the devil who kept them in the wilderness. It was their murmuring and complaining. And so we have to understand, before we get to a new year, we got to have God do something within us. And we've got to take responsibility and say, God, for the next 3 days, I'm going to pray up. I'm going to do what I need to do. I'm going to look at my friends. I'm going to look at my relationships. I'm going to look at my giving. I'm going to look at my service. I'm going to look at how I treat my job, how I treat my family. I'm going to look at how I approach my marriage, how I'm parenting my children. I'm going to look at all of those things, because if I really expect my 2020 to be better than my 2019, there are some things that I'm going to have to do different before I get to that place. Somebody say amen. One of Paul's most famous writings is found in the second letter to Timothy. This is Paul's final epistle. This is at the end of his ministry and life. And he would say in verse 7 of 2 Timothy 4, I have fought the good fight, I've finished the race, and I've kept the faith. I love the fact that he just lays it out there. I've fought, I've finished, and I have faith. Now there, verse 8, we never go to verse 8. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness. Now he's talking about what is in front of him, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, not only to me, but to all that long for his appearing. All the believers that have faith in Jesus, he says, we fight, we finish, we faith. The number one thing he said, I fought a good fight. The only good fight is one you're guaranteed to win, which is the fight we fight in Christ. Isn't that great when you wake up and you start swinging and you start fighting the adversary and you start fighting the principalities and the principles of darkness? Isn't it great to know that when you start fighting, you're already guaranteed victory? And never mistake losing a battle with losing the war. There are some scars you're going to carry into 2020, but let it be a reminder, you outlive the pain, you outlive the attack, and you got the upper hand on the adversary. I thought I'd get a better amen right there than that, because 2019 has thrown some grenades at you, and here you stand today. You might walk with a limp like Jacob did, but all that describes is I know who my God is. He never left me. He never forsook me, and now he's walking, and I'm walking stride for stride with him into 2020. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I finished my year, and I have kept the faith. At the end of your fight, at the end of your race, it comes down to one thing. Do you still have faith? The only way that you'll still have faith is if you make it to the end of that race or the end of the year. Faith has to become a verb in our lives, church. We talk too much about faith that we have. We treat it as a noun. Faith must be something that we do, not just something that we have. I have faith. Yeah, you have faith. But listen, you are faith. It's an action. Listen, when you stretch out your hand, when you start possessing land, listen, you are actually being a physical illustration of faith. Every time you lift your hand in worship, that is faith in action. Every time you drop your tithe into the offering plate, it is an act of faith, an act of worship, an act of service. Every time you get up and early and you serve here at Living Way, it is an act of faith. When you share your testimony and you're a witness at your school or at your job, your faith is an action. It is no longer something I have. It is something I give. It is something I am. It is something I speak. I am a person of faith. Paul finishes this great statement in verse 7, I fight, I finish, I faith, and pivots to talk about his future, what lies in front of him and every other believer. Paul was amazing. One of Paul's greatest attributes is the fact that he could move so quickly from what was behind him, the good, bad, and ugly, and pivot to what was in front of him. I want to encourage you, no matter what kind of year you've had in 2019, you should already be pivoting to 2020 and thinking what God has called you to do, what God is going to do, what God has promised you in your life. There's four questions I want to ask. Maybe rhetorical questions, or you can lift your hand if you want to. How many of you in this building have had an amazing and a blessed year? Just raise your hand. Come on now. There's a lot of hands going up. Is there anybody that can say 2019 was, bar none, the best year of my entire life? Raise your hand. I'm raising my hand. It's been a great year. Mom beat cancer. Sean beat cancer. My family is flourishing in faith. I love the atmosphere and the health of Living Way Church. I love what God is doing in my personal life and in my business life. And so there's some who said it's been a blessed year. There's a few of us that said it's been the best year. But how many of you can say, honestly, Pastor, this has been a tough year for me and my family? Raise your hand. Hands going up all over the building. Now, here's the rhetorical one, because you might not want to share your business, but there's at least a few people in here that if you were honest with all of us today, you would say, Pastor, 2019 has been the worst year of my entire life. I heard a yep. That's your testimony, that it's been hard, it's been difficult, it's been the worst. Now, it doesn't matter if it's been a blessed year, if it's been the best year, if it's been a tough year or your worst year. Guess what we all have in common? We are all ready for a new year. And we're all, the people who had the worst year, you're saying, it can't get any worse than this, and I'm going to flip the calendar, I'm going to flip the page, and I'm going to start a brand new year, and God's going to do what God said he would do, and this is going to happen, and I believe in faith that my job's going to get better, my family's going to get better, my marriage is going to get better. The people that had a tough year saying, God, I came through this, and I put out a lot of seed in 2019, and 2020 is going to be my year of harvest, and I might have lost that job, but God, I know you've got my future in your hands, and so I'm believing in 2020, God, things are going to surge and get better for me. And those of you that had a blessed year, you're saying, God, if you did that in 2019, I can't wait to see what you're going to do in 2020. I'm ready. I'm willing. I'm faith-filled. I am expecting. And for the few of us that said it was our best year, we're saying, God, we're not resting on our laurels. We're not saying, whoo, we made it through the best year of our life. What we're saying is, God, you're never anticlimactic. And what you just did for me and my family, I expect you to do greater, bigger, better, more abundant, more anointed, so we can all agree that we're ready for a new year, new opportunity, fresh and clean slate. I called a business this week, and a woman answered the phone. I said, how are you doing? She said, I'm doing good. I said, are you ready for the new year? She said, honestly, I am. She said, I am so ready to be done with 2019. I didn't preach at her, didn't give her a scripture. I just said, that's right, I'm ready for a new year too. And just remember, before we can expect new things, we've got to do things a different way. And she said, I hear you. And then she connected me to who I was calling. She's ready for a new year. Had a tough year. I'm ready for a new year. Had a great year. We're all on the same page, 60 hours from now, stepping into a brand new year. Somebody say, I'm ready. That's the good news. Here is some sort of bad news. A new year does not magically mean a new you. Just because the calendar flips doesn't mean that everything changes. Because you can do a new year an old way. It doesn't magically. This altar is not magical. It's miraculous. You come here, and God will restore you. God will bless you. God will save you. God will deliver you. God will fill you with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. We'll take you to that baptistry, and we will get you baptized in the name of Jesus and put you under that water, and it'll be a glorious moment. But unless you live it outside of these four walls, this was just an expression. It was just an experience. God is needing people to put some work to their faith and say, God, I believe you, and I know that I'm saved by faith, but my faith is going to produce a new way of living. It's called works in my life. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, faith plus works. How you end 2019 is how you will begin 2020. How you end one year is how you start the next year. How you end one season is how you start the next season. Now, everybody just look straight ahead. Don't look around. We don't want to make anybody uncomfortable. But you know why that many relationships fail? It's because you get out of a bad relationship and you're hurt, you're bitter, you're mad, you're angry, and you jump into another relationship. And the person you're in a relationship with might be a good person, might be the right person, but because you carried hurt, bitterness, anger, and offense from the last relationship, you pollute the new relationship. Why? Because you left the last relationship mad, and you entered your next relationship mad. That's why rebound relationships rarely ever work, because you are the same person that caused the last relationship not to work, or you're still mad about it, and now you expect God to do something in a new person, and you're still acting the old way. That's why people that go through 3 jobs usually go through 5, 7, and 9 jobs, because they get ticked off at the boss and they leave mad and they leave with all these feelings of whatever they have because they were fired, and they get to a new job and they treat their new boss and they take it out on their new boss what was going on with their old boss. And so it didn't work at McDonald's, so it's not going to work at Burger King. Could it be your attitude and not the boss? Could it be that you entered a new season an old way? Let's talk about church hoppers, not shoppers, hoppers. Church shopping is what you do when you move to a new city. Church hopping is what you do when you get mad, offended. It's too dark. The music's too loud. What happened to the organ? I don't like the guitar. I like the guitar. Why do they keep playing keyboards? I don't like that they wear suits. I don't like that he wears jeans. I don't like that he wears alligator shoes. I don't like that he wears Vans. I don't like the fact that they sing 3 songs and only 1 worship song. I don't like the fact that he screams while he preaches. I don't like the fact that they got purple pews instead of theater seats. I don't like the fact that so-and-so didn't shake my hand and give up their seat for me. All of these reasons. And so you leave your church and you go to a new church and you're still mad at Living Way. And so you'll last at Cornerstone for 2 months, and then you go to New Creation for 2 years, and then you go to the Summit for 18 months, and then you'll go to some storefront where you got some pull for 14 months, all because you entered a new place in an old way. And when we enter new, old, we repeat, recycle, and pollute the new space with the same old mentality and expectation. And it will not work. And so to move into 2020, we need to have a new mind, a new heart, a new spirit in Jesus' name. Somebody say yes, yes, yes. Joshua 1:6-9, I got to hurry through this. Be strong and of good courage. For under this people shall thou divide an inheritance of the land which I swear unto the fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the left nor the right, that thou mayest prosper wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but you will meditate therein day and night. You will observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and you will have good success. Have not I commanded you to be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. He said there's 7 things you have to do before you can cross over. Because if you cross over without doing these 7 things, you will make the promised land a wilderness. You will live around blessing and never get blessed. You will live under favor, but it always avoids you and finds someone else. Those 7 things are in those preceding 4 verses. Be strong. Number 2, be courageous. Do the word of God. Do all the word of God, actually, what it says. Don't look to the left or right. Meditate on the word. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Those 7 things, if you were to take those 7 things and concentrate over the next week, 10 days, 2 weeks, your 2020 will be far different than your 2019. Be strong, courageous, do the word of God, stay focused, don't look to the left or right, meditate on the word, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged. Turn to your neighbor and tell them it's just that easy. We'll give you 3 things that are going to help you. We have to get our mind right, our spirit right, and our faith right. Number 1, let's talk about getting your mind right. We say things like, I woke up with my mind stayed on Jesus. You might have woke up that way, but when the dude cut you off at 8:33 this morning on Loop 410, your woke up mind stayed on Jesus is no longer stayed on Jesus. When your ex-wife called you this morning or texted you this morning, we won't even go there. When that person didn't, you might have even made it all the way to church, woke up and stayed on Jesus until somebody gave you the cold shoulder, until you saw somebody you didn't like, until your ex showed up and you didn't know they still came to this church. We need to purpose in our hearts and spirit that we begin the new year with our minds stayed on Jesus and never vacillate for the next 366 days. We have an extra day in 2020. For 366 days, I'm going to keep my mind stayed on Jesus. I don't care what happens. My mind is stayed on Jesus. I don't care what news I get. My mind is stayed on Jesus. There's a few things that we must have to approach this year, to have the year that God wants us to have. We need a right perspective. We need a right mentality, and we need right focus. Perspective. Get God's perspective, a.k.a. get vision. See what God sees. Isaiah 55:8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord." God says, I think different than you, and I see different than you. If God sees and thinks different than me, and he's greater than me, and he has plotted out my course, ordered our steps, then I definitely want to hear what he has to say about my life and see what he has seen in my life. The second thing after perspective is mentality. I preached on Mortal Kombat. Let's preach on something else. You need to get the Mamba mentality. How many of you like Michael Jordan? Man, if I had asked that question 20 years ago, we would have had a standing ovation. There's four people that like Mike. How many people like LeBron James? All I heard was, I've never loved Living Way more than right now. How many of you love Kobe Bryant? Some Lakers fans. I grew up not liking Kobe. Kobe won me over. Kobe refers to himself as the Black Mamba. He wrote a book on the Mamba mentality. This is what the Mamba mentality in the Bible, what it would be. Solomon said it like this, Ecclesiastes 9:11, "The race is not to the swift, nor to the strong." Jesus said in Matthew 24:13, "But he that endures to the end shall be saved." Paul said it in Hebrews 10:36, "You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you'll receive what he has promised." This is a quote from Kobe himself on Mamba mentality. "If you see me in a fight with a bear, pray for the bear." That's Mamba mentality. We don't quit. We don't cower. We don't run. We endure. We conquer. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Find the silver lining and get to work. I don't know where Kobe lines up with Christianity. Never heard him say to, for, or against it. But I will say this, if an athlete is talking about that's the way he sees a game and the way he trains, then we as believers should have a mentality that we fight until the end, that we don't cower, that we don't run, we endure, that we don't quit, we don't run from it, that we're going to quit feeling sorry. Listen, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. You got about 60 hours to dry your tears because there's a year that is waiting on you. And I got good news for you. You say, "Pastor, I can't quit crying." You can run while you cry. You can fight while you cry. You can praise while you cry. You can worship while you cry. You can give while you cry. You can serve while you cry. You can love while you cry. You can do all of those things with big old tears. You remember what it was like to get a whipping from your parents and you're they make you clean your room? They don't care that you're crying. Just work. God bottles those tears. He said, you can cry all you want. Just keep serving. Keep pressing forward. Get that mentality. We need focus. Get your faith focused on God's word, God's promises, God-given goals, and God-given wisdom. Number two, get your spirit right. Here's a big prayer, and it's one of the toughest prayers you can pray. God, take away everything that is not from you. Take away everything that is not a part of you, because that prayer will not just be stuff. Sometimes it's people. Man, let me just encourage you, purpose it in your life the next 60 hours to pray this prayer. God, everything in my life that is not of you, take it. Everything that is not a part of your plan for my life, take it. And you're going to see things start vanishing. And some of those things are going to cause you to cry, but cry on, baby, because you got a future ahead of you. You got something great in front of you. Psalm 139, 24, David said, "See if there is any offensive or wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." He would go on to say in Psalm 51, 7, "Purge me with hyssop, that I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." So ask God. Get your spirit right. Don't stop the spirit. Paul writes and says, don't quench the spirit in 1 Thessalonians. Don't do things that dam up the spirit of God in your life. Let that spirit flow. John 7, 38, "He that believes on me," Jesus said, as the scripture have said, "out of your belly shall flow the rivers of living water." The next verse, Jesus has said, he's talking about the Holy Ghost. Don't stop it. Let it flow. And then I love this. Allow the spirit to do its job. That's what quenching not the spirit really means. Hey, I'm here to do a job. Let me do my job. I'm here to guide you. I'm here to instruct you. I'm here to give you power. I'm here to advise. I'm here to give you counsel on where you need to go, what you need to do, who you need to do it with. Number three, get your faith right. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, my faith is growing. How do we get our faith right? Very simply, starve your fear, feed your faith. Starve your fear, feed your faith. Job 3:25 says this. Job said, "For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me. That which I was afraid of has come unto me." You know, you can faith something into your life, and you can fear something into your life. Fear is faith in the wrong things. There's a guy that used to work here that would miss work. I'm talking about every probably couple months, and then it turned into once a week. And he kept saying, "There's something wrong with him, there's something wrong with him, there's something wrong with me." Went to the doctor, they would run a battery of tests on him. "There's nothing wrong with you. I know I've got cancer. My dad had cancer. My family had cancer." Went to the doctor over and over and over, ran those tests a dozen times. "Nothing wrong with you, sir." Finally, he went and said, "I know there's something wrong with me." And they said, "You've got inoperable brain cancer." So what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying he faithed cancer into him because he kept saying, "I know it's there. I know it's there. I know it's there." See, faith says, "I know healing's there. I know healing's there." Faith says, "I know the money's going to be on time. I know it's there." Faith says, "I know that there's love in this marriage. Come on now. He's been cussing you. No, I know there's love in this marriage. I know my child is going to serve God. I know my child." Faith. Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Get ready to live 2020 living away with zero fear. That's easy to amen, right? When we're sitting in here and everything's perfect. What happens in the next 366 days? There's going to be some high highs. There's going to be some low lows. It's called life. But you don't have to fear the low lows. Why? Because I have a God that walks through the valley of the shadow of death. Ask yourself, what could I accomplish for the next 12 months if I work, pray, believe, love, give, and serve without fear? What could you accomplish? You could be on Forbes' top 100 list if you lived without fear. You could save your entire floor at work if you lived without fear. You could conquer that addiction if you lived without fear. You could receive the healing touch of Jesus if you lived without fear. Solidify your vision is one way that you build your faith. Habakkuk 2:2, and I'll preach on this next week. "And the Lord answered him and said unto me, write the vision, make it plain." Once you have solidified your vision, focus your faith on that vision. I put a period right there, and God told me to add something else. Once you have solidified your vision, focus your faith on that vision and work your tail off. Don't just pray it here. Live it there. Say, "God, I believe you're going to bless me," and then go out there and say, "God, I'm going to do the possible so that you can do the impossible." Stand on your feet. Let's get back to the title of this message, finish it. You might be asking, and you've asked for the last 20 minutes, what are we finishing? Finish what? I'm glad you asked. In 2019, in the next 60 hours, you're going to finish your fear. Finish your doubt. Finish your crying. Finish your whining. Finish your complaining. Finish your gossip. Finish backsliding. Some of us want to move forward so bad we say, but you can't move forward if you're sliding backwards. And you can't slide backwards if you're moving forward. You can only go one way. Finish murmuring. Finish living that double life, one way on Sunday, one way on Friday. Finish some friendships. Finish being double-minded. Finish the phrase, I'm about to, attitude. Finish that. Start something. Finish the addiction. Finish the sickness. Finish second-guessing. Finish preparing. Finish goal-planning. Finish writing your vision. Finish your assignment. Finish getting ready. Finish your year. That's our assignment over the next 60 hours. I'm going to finish 2019 so that I do not carry remorse, regret, doubt, fear, offense, bitterness, anger, prejudice, bigotry. All of that is staying in 2019 so that when the clock strikes midnight, the ball drops in New York City, that when I say it's a new year, it really is a new year because there's a new me. You can't have a new year without a new you. This altar call is very simple for me to give today. It's for anybody that is declaring and expecting the greatest year of your life, but you know in your heart of hearts that there's some things that need to be finalized in the next 3 days. If that's you, I need you to stand right here. I love it that ushers just turn around and say, well, that's...